one person I've been getting a lot of questions about is Evan McMullen. Evan McMullen is the former CIA agent. I guess the best way to describe him is he's sort of the never Trump Republican Party's candidate. I guess, you think that's a fair assessment, guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's not like a crazy libertarian like Gary Johnson, but he's not exactly a constitutional conservative.
I don't know what he is. That's why we're going to listen to these clips. I mean, you know enough to pronounce that judgment based on what you have?
Okay. I do.
All right. Because that's what we're going to do here this hour. I don't know basically anything other than his bio. Don't know anything about it. People have asked me, we're going to have him on in general. You guys know my rule. We don't chase candidates. They want to come on. They know where to find us. That's kind of the way I look at it. So Evan McMullen, though, gave probably his most revealing interview yet on Fox News the other night. And we've got a few clips. I thought we'd play them and assess what we hear. You guys up for it?
Yes.
Here's Evan addressing right up front the political reality and a path to 270 Electoral College votes.
Are you a Hillary Clinton supporter?
Well, certainly not. I'm the furthest thing from it. What I would say is that Donald Trump is already losing this election badly. When I entered the race 6 days ago, he was 10 points down on a national level. State polls in critical states over the last couple of days have shown that he's even further down in them. Donald Trump has no chance of winning this election. He's alienated too wide of swath of the American population. He continues to put his foot in his mouth. He will not win. He's weak. I think he's melting down. His campaign is melting down. He has no chance of winning. He is ensuring that Hillary Clinton is elected our next president.
All right, but paint the picture of how you have a chance of winning.
Sure. Well, there are many ways that we can win. One way is through the House. I think it's unlikely that we'll reach 270 given the late stage that we're entering, and we can talk more about why it is that we've done that. But
270 that's, electoral votes.
270, exactly right. But if we prevent both Hillary and Donald Trump from reaching that threshold as well, we can take it to the House. That's one possibility. The other thing is I don't know that Trump is going to make it through. I think he is in the middle of a serious meltdown right now, as his entire campaign. I don't know if he's going to make it. And I don't know how long RNC support lasts and under what terms, but he's very fragile.
And you'll
now
get on the ballots, you're convinced.
We're going to be on many, many ballots. So we just a few days in, we got on to Colorado's. Just today, we announced Utah. The Independence Party of Minnesota has nominated me. They'll be helping us onto the ballot there. That's an important one. And many others. I mean, they'll just keep coming. We're going to be fighting and scrapping and clawing and getting on as many as we can.
You'll notice there the first three states he mentioned are Utah, Colorado, and Minnesota. Do you know what they have in common? Those are all three states Donald Trump lost during the primary.
Handily,
yeah. So let's assess what you guys heard there. You okay with him? Think it's smart for him just to admit right up front we're not getting to 270 Electoral College votes as he did and just throw that out there and not even play with the pipe dream, and then at the same time to cast doubts on Trump's ability to make it to the end of the campaign? Do you think that's the right way for him to address the political reality, Aaron?
I'm fine with that strategy. I think right now it's probably the best and only strategy. Don't try to, I mean, what's the point in telling people, yeah, I'm in it to win 270 when everybody knows you're not getting there? So, this is the only strategy, and as you pointed out, those three states are strongly voted against Trump. So if he's got this strategy in play, he's doing it the right way so far.
Isn't the fact that he's talking about Trump is so broken that he has no shot of getting to 270 ultimately a problem? Because it points out that there's no way to keep Hillary from getting there herself. I mean, we have red states that are now toss-up states. His brokenness, I mean, he's doing too bad. He needs to be doing bad enough to make that a possibility, but not so bad that he's rewriting the electoral map and making Hillary get that much more than any Democrat has the possibility to in a normal case. Am I wrong? I mean, is that a legitimate argument to say that we can somehow keep either one from getting 270? It doesn't strike me as legitimate.
It's highly unlikely to keep both of them under 270. But given the question was leading up to it, are you a Hillary Clinton supporter? And he's being talked about on Fox News. I think you can see why he took that particular angle, right? But you're correct. The likelihood of keeping both of them under 270 now, is very, very low. But I think had an independent candidate been on the ballot who was credible a month or two ago, I think the odds would be much better. I still don't think they'd be great, but we'd go from, you know, single digits to 25 or 30%.
So, but it would be better for his philosophy if Donald Trump was a likely loser, but not a colossal.
Because what you're saying is, if he's good, if now we're at the point where Trump's losing in losing North Carolina,
yes,
and losing Georgia and losing Arizona and tied in Indiana.
How do you,
right? And he's it's within margin of error for Kansas. So now the odds that you'd keep Hillary under 270 are much better. Okay. Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
And I'm no McMullen supporter, but I think he would probably say to that, and he said it in this clip, well, that's why I think Donald Trump should get out, because he's doing so poorly, if that makes sense.
All right, here is clip two. This is Evan McMullen talking about his support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, otherwise known as TPP.
I think we need to trade. 95% of the world's consumers are outside our borders. We need access to them. Right now, as it is, we're limited in so many ways in so many countries. Our companies are. We've got to get to yes on this. Now, I know there are members of Congress who have some concerns, and I think the President, President Obama, needs to work with them to resolve those so that we can get to yes. But we've got to get to yes. Now, on trade, I'll just mention that there are people who are genuinely suffering as a result of displaced industries and jobs. Automation is another part of that. It's not only trade. We do need to hear their concerns. We do need to help them transition more. I believe that, and I think that's a message that conservatives need to promote more. But we can't stop trading and broadening our trade opportunities. We have to do that. It's good for our country.
Mercedes.
Now, while there is a pretty vocal proponent of, I'm guessing, this audience and much of conservative media that would disagree with him, the reality is right now, overwhelming numbers nationwide, is the country overwhelmingly agrees with the viewpoint he just expressed, not necessarily this particular piece of legislation, but the broad viewpoint of trade that he just expressed. In fact, right now, the viewpoint on trade he just expressed is even slightly more popular in the Democratic Party than it is in the Republican Party. But your thoughts on that, Todd?
Well, Hillary, I think to echo your sentiment there, you know, Hillary has been writing very pro-labor, pro-union messaging. And this speaks to what we talked about last hour, too. Who's taking whose messages and who's airing it more effectively? I actually think Hillary has actually been messaging on this, generally speaking, better than he did there. You can't back into it the way he did there, saying, yeah, we got to help people out a little bit. He needs to come at that more.
What does it mean to come to yes on this?
Well, that's...
Why?
It's too wonky.
I mean, yes. I mean, he gives a broad defense at the notion of free trade. But the way you bring people to a yes on something that there has been hot debate about now for a year is to answer their objections.
Yep.
All right? And in this clip, he doesn't do any of that, Aaron. Doesn't answer any of the objections at all. Just provides the broader apologetic on trade.
Yeah, and I freely admit I don't know everything there is to know about TPP, and I'd rather admit that than look like something I can't say on the radio. But what it did bother me about that clip that we just heard is that it just seems like he's trying to advocate for something that might hurt the U.S. economy by putting a little spoonful of sugar on it by saying, well, we need to hear these people's concerns and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean anything.
Does he know what those concerns are? Could he credibly answer those concerns?
He seems like a smart guy. I just don't think he's very good at this yet. I mean, heck, he's a CIA. He's a spy. He is a smart guy, but this is a different ballpark.
All right, we'll come back, hear more from the independent candidate, Evan McMullen, here in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Steve Dace. Where
nine black-robed masters don't get to become their own self-appointed constitutional convention, the Steve Day Show.
All right, listening to more of Evan McMullen. He is the Never Trump wing of the Republican Party's independent candidates. He was on Fox recently, one of his, I think it might even have been his first, in-depth interview. Here is what he had to say on immigration.
Let me ask you, are you more aligned with Hillary Clinton and comprehensive immigration reform, more executive orders, or more aligned with Donald Trump in securing our borders?
Well, let me tell you exactly what I think about it. I think we need to secure our border first and foremost. It's a basic part of being a country. It's a basic piece of national security. We must do that. As far as a wall is concerned, the experts actually say that in some places a wall is necessary, in other places that a double wall is necessary, and in other places that a wall wouldn't help. So I'm for whatever it takes to secure our border with Mexico. We've got to do it. I'm for then enforcing our laws, and also I'm not for deporting 11 million people. I think it's ridiculous. It would cause so much trouble economically and in other ways. It's a ridiculous idea. I oppose that. I think what we need to do is, for those who are here illegally but not criminals and who want to stay, there should be a path towards a legal presence here in the United States.
What about the Syrian refugees?
What about them?
What would your position be on letting them in, not letting them in?
I spent 10 years, over 10 years in the Central Intelligence Agency, serving overseas, serving in the Middle East. And let me tell you, if you're a terrorist and you want to come to the United States, the worst possible way to try to do it is as a refugee. You'll go through a year and a half to 2 years of vetting. If you want to come to the United States and you're a terrorist, you're much better off just coming through on the visa waiver program from Europe or just walking across the border in Mexico. So I think that there's a lot of hysteria and unjustified hysteria around the refugee situation. And I think we need to be more careful and thoughtful and accurate with the way we talk about that issue, because it has implications for a variety of other interests that we have overseas.
All right. First of all, let me say this. Regardless of what you think about the opinions he gave, I thought this was a much more informed presidential answer in terms of also specifics than the one that he gave on TPP just a moment ago. So let's break this down on a few facets. I thought it was very interesting what he said there at the end. His experience as a CIA agent is that the vetting that goes into refugees, that would not be the way a terrorist would look to come across, would look to invade nearly as much as just walk across the border since it's so insecure. I thought that was interesting. I thought that a lot of people are going to balk at, what do you mean we're not going to? There isn't a candidate running right now that's going to deport all these people. Trump's not going to deport him. He's already for touchback amnesty, which was what everybody said they were against a couple of years ago. All right, so we know Hillary's going to amnesty him. Trump's not going to deport them. So there isn't a major party option on a ballot this year for president that is going to deport 11 million people and whatever the number is and have them be gone. The rest of what he said there is very similar to the answer that Marco Rubio would have given about the Gang of Eight immigration reform a couple of years ago. I happen to think he said it even better than Rubio said it. But it comes down to, do you trust that they would put the enforcement and security measures in that they said they would? Now, I would also say, here's the political reality. Is Trump's messaging on this issue has become so incendiary that an issue we were winning in polls a year or two ago, we're losing it right now. Like, independents are pretty vehemently against the building of a wall. That wasn't the case a year or two ago. You know, and my fear is that Trump's messaging on this is so incendiary, we're going to wish Rubio had done the Gang of Eight deal. That might be the best deal we're going to get by the end of 2017. But your thoughts, Todd, on what Evan McMullen says here on immigration?
Well, can I speak to the refugee issue?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we just found out the degree to which terrorists are using the refugee system in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it speaks to your issue of trust. This is a guy who I think he's just saying, based on what I know as a professional and what should happen, he's probably right about that. But Obama's pen and his phone, you can be sure. Does anybody believe whatever rules are currently in place in the American refugee system are going to be followed because they're such sticklers for the rules there in the bureaucracy? No way.
Yeah, this struck me as the typical GOP talking points on amnesty. And as you mentioned, Todd, Dateline, August 11th, 2016, that was, what, five, 6 days ago, German intelligence services have evidence that hit squads from the Islamic State terror group have infiltrated the country disguised as refugees. You can say all you want about the screening process in the United States, but we know what the left wants to do. They want as many refugees as possible, and I don't really trust the process at this point in time. But overall, the answer, I agree, was more in depth, and that's good to hear. He's not some sort of he's not an idiot. Okay, that's the good way to put it. I think.
And during this cycle, that's the initial bar we're asking candidates to clear.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't be idiots. Next clip. This is Evan McMullen talking about Islamic State.
The American military says they have taken off the battlefield 45,000 or so ISIS fighters since the coalition airstrikes began. The territory of the caliphate is shrinking. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with their record, and how would you improve upon it? With or without American troops?
Well, look, it's a great question. The problem is the pace of what we've been doing. President Obama has articulated a containment strategy that sort of has this other slow road towards defeating ISIS. The problem is that when you allow ISIS or any other Islamist terrorist organization to have a safe haven the size of the one that ISIS has, you buy them time to plot and plan the kinds of attacks that have happened in Europe and the United States and elsewhere over the last year. So the pace needs to pick up. This isn't something that we can sort of get around to casually, and that's my objection with what President Obama is doing.
Can the caliphate be destroyed to the territory
taken
away?
Absolutely.
Without American ground forces?
I don't think we should take anything off the table, but there are a lot of great options before we, it's all terrible, but there are a lot of better options for us to turn to before we put traditional troops on the ground. I think we need to use CIA operations. We need to use our special forces. I've been there, done that. We're very good at this. We need to train indigenous troops, indigenous forces. There are countries in the region who have volunteered to put up their own troops. We need to exhaust some of these things before we go ahead and put traditional troops on the ground. I don't think it's necessary. I think we can defeat ISIS through other means, through some of these that I've described and others.
Aaron, what'd you think of what he said there?
That's probably his best, or I shouldn't say his best answer. It's probably the answer that I agree with the most. I don't want to conflate what I agree with and what's maybe the best. But I think he made his case that he knows what he's doing as far as being an ex-CIA operative. He clearly defines what the problem is. It's that we allow these ISIS operatives to have a safe haven, and that's allowing all of these attacks on the West, and that we need to annihilate them quicker than the current pace. I think this is probably his best answer so far.
Todd?
That's definitely not Ron Paul libertarianism right there. Not even close. This version of libertarianism isn't going to be like scaring people like Ron Paul did about you know,
I don't hear anything libertarian in any of his answers. No. Any clip we just listened to.
And this one in particular. I mean, he's not going to be, there's no sense of blame that somehow ISIS is our fault, which is the weirdo territory that Ron Paul would end up in.
I mean, his answers are essentially mainline republicanism combined with his expertise in the field as a former CIA agent. More in a moment.
You're listening to Steve Dace. We'll be right back.